Thanks on page 593 as Sister Rachel's class comes up. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks. Let's sing Blessed Be the Lord God Almighty, page 6. Blessed be the Lord. this time, let's let Zach come up for prayer class. Please stand to your feet.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We've got two prayer requests, and one's from Brother Joe Silas. He says, Brother Samuel Reyes is having Thanksgiving meetings this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 10 a.m. through 5:30 p.m. every day. All right. So the second one is from Brother and Sister Anderson. We thank the Lord for a graceful sister. Successful. All right.
Okay.
Successful operation. God bless you. All right. All unspoken requests, please raise your hand. All right, let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, thank you for everything you've done for us, and I pray that you would please grant these prayer requests, and thank you for everything you've done, and please grant all the spoken unspoken requests, and please help Brother Dale as he preaches this afternoon in your precious, wonderful name. Amen.
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 You can all be seated.
Sister Monica's Sunday school class, please come up. As we sing, Be It Unto Me, page 15.
Be it unto me according to your word. According to your word, oh Lord, be
Would Brother Benjamin and Brother Michael please come and take the offering? Let's all pray. Lord God, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for all the generous gifts you've given us, Lord, in this life, Lord, and help whoever gives to the offering, Lord, to give freely, Lord, not because they have to, Lord, but from their hearts, Lord, and thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, and help Brother Dale as he preaches, Lord, and we know that this week is Thanksgiving week, Lord, but we know that it's giving thanks, Lord, and it's to you, Lord, for giving us life on this earth and your hand over us to protect us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, you'll help us today, Lord, and bless the offering. Amen. Yeah. Will Sister Trudy's group please come up as we sing Come to My Soul, page 39.
Come to my soul, precious Jesus, my Lord. Give me a heart like
let's stand and sing, He Knows My Name. I have a maker. He formed my heart. And before even time began, my life was in His hands. I have a Father. He calls me. Blessed be the name of the Lord, page 18.
Hands.
Take a look around, you might find him, you know, standing next to you. Yeah. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 1, where we've been reading, and then we'll go into Genesis 3. Ephesians 1, Genesis 3. Now remember, this coming Tuesday night, we will be having services at 7 o'clock. There is no Wednesday night service this week. Okay? Everybody got it? If you come, you're going to be by yourself. Have a good time. Yeah. But just remember that. Because we've changed it to where you can have your Thanksgiving time together. All right? And then remember, too, the Lord willing, this coming Sunday, the 29th, Brother Forney will be here with us to minister unto us for the weekend. Remember to pray for Wade. He's up at Brother Burley's, or probably finished this morning. And I didn't know it. I was asking, and Brother Luis is there with him, or went with him today to interpret, because they have a lot of Hispanic people there at Brother Burley's church. So that's where they're at today. Remember that. Also, now remember, the watch night service will be here, and Brother Forney will be ministering the watch night service. So remember these announcements that we have made. Now the other down through the roads, we'll be getting together and fellowshipping about the 12th December, the what? 12th, 13th, there, what that Sunday is. It's the 14th, I'm getting 13th. It's got to be one day right in there, 12th, 13th, or 14th. Second Sunday that we will be having our annual time together. It's Christmas time, and come and be with us, and we have a good time. And the dinner will be catered that service, so, you know, don't worry about you don't have to fix anything. Everything will be catered and taken care of. We do that every year to try to encourage you to think about, you know, that we are not Christmas times, but it is a wonderful time to think about, because we should think about Christ all year round. And not just Christmas time, but remember that. Okay, Ephesians 1 and Genesis 3. The Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for you. Thank you that you are the great I Am, and that you are trying to reveal yourself to mankind. And we thank you. We ask you to just come among us today and have your way with each one of us. As we try to speak about you, you have your way in our hearts and lives. Forgive our sins, because we want to stand complete in you, Lord. And Father, we just ask you to open our eyes to thy word, that we may see it. Be with the sick among us, and you promised it to come and heal the people and deliver us from destruction, because it is your word that we're talking about. Remember those that are not here, just bless each one. Have your way and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now remember what we're saying, the reason we read Ephesians, because the entire journey of mankind from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world, down to the present hour that we're living, is in these about 11 verses that we read. Okay? Verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. How many believes in predestination? If you don't believe in it, go to the message, the token. I'll get which date it is, but it's one of these four tokens, you know. And listen to Brother Branham talk about, he said, only the predestinated animals made it in the ark. That's what he said. He said, and only the predestinated people come out of Egypt. You know, so then we just got to get it in the right order to understand, haven't we? Because there's nothing wrong with the word. It's our understanding. Yes. It's what messes it up. But what he said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, what? The forgiveness of sins. Notice, sins. Christians are the only ones that sins. Sinners are just sin. But it's speaking of plural, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That what? What is that purpose? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things were in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel, what? Of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, what is the finished part? The redemption of these bodies. Right? Okay, now we'll go in and try to pick up our thought. So we'll go to Genesis 3 and just read a few scriptures. We're not going to go into the things as a lot of people would. If we don't know what took place here, we're in bad shape. All right. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. See, now notice one tree there. Not trees. The others is trees, you know. You can eat that, but leave this one alone. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been 14 services talking about what goes on or what went on in heaven back before the foundation of the world, how that the Lamb's Book of Life came into view, and seeing all of that, how the morning stars sang together, the sons of God shouted for joy. We've been covering all of these things, talking about the man of Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then we came down more this today toward where we're going, because we were talking about the fact that the 126 man was placed into the 27 man, right? And that made Adam upon the earth. and put him into the position he's doing. I hope you were following me of what I was trying to bring this morning, just a small review, that whatever God's pattern is in the beginning, that is what he expects. As I said, Brother Henry Green made the statement, wonderful thought, God what started his church the way he wanted it. He wants his church the way he started it. All right? Now, then in doing that, I believe that all of the beginnings, as I said this morning, he didn't begin mankind as a baby and put them in the garden and having to nurse them and raise them up and doing, you know. No, they were full grown. We don't argue about, you know, which come first, the chicken or the egg. Well, you know, that's plumb silly. God created, like I said, if you want to believe in evolution, go with the egg. Did you follow me? Go with the egg if you want to believe in evolution. He just put a bunch of eggs. You know, somebody did because he got them somewhere. But if you're going to believe the truth, then he started with full grown. Because God always, his pattern of the way he does anything, he shows it when he first starts. And that's what he's expecting. All right? So then God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul. Brother Branham said blasphemous names, especially into Adam, eternal life, making him an eternal person with God. All right? Then we jumped over from there to where Jesus, see, God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life of Adam, and he became a living soul. Then the church coming down through, as they had took their training for 3.5 years, right at the ending up, as a matter of fact, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, is where it's at in John 20, that he breathes on them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. All right? Now, then in doing that, that didn't take place until the day of Pentecost. Because that was a promise. We gave that this morning where the prophet covered it. That was a promise to them that the Holy Ghost was coming. Because, and we gave you the quotes and the thing, where the Holy Ghost had not been given because Jesus had not been crucified. All right. Now, but then on the day of Pentecost, it was fulfilled of where that the 120 in the upper room received directly from God the very breath of God, breathing eternal life into their souls and made them eternal. And it put them at the part that where Brother Branham said the disciples had these virtues from where it says Holy Spirit down. The headstone had not come yet. All right. That's to be waiting till the end time, right? Now, that brought forth the full manifestation of God in the time in the book of Acts for what was for that day and time. It fell away, dropped down, everything went off into different things, but God promised, I will restore. So then he is to return in the last days and has returned doing it. We used this morning the point of Ezekiel and speaking of the valley of the dry bones, and the prophet was told to prophesy or to breathe on them. Prophesy, speak to those bones, and that's Israel, and they would come forth. All right, showing what would take place. And I told you what I believe, because the prophet said blasphemous names. He said that the church is born by the breath of God. He said when this image is built up into the certain stature that it's supposed to be, he said God will breathe into them and it'll all be over with. Because I believe, now that's what I didn't totally finish, I believe this message is the headstone to the church. That's the way I've always taught it from 40 years ago, and I still believe it, and it's the headstone to the church, and that God was using, as he used Ezekiel, to speak to the valley of the dry bones. And the sinew came, the flesh, the things came, and then they were standing there, but no breath. All right, then he breathed on them, and they walked forth. That would be Israel in her restoration. All right? See, then it would be meaning in the end time that God, through this prophet, and you'll see why I believe in the prophet's message and all, because he would speak to you and I once again that it would be the breath of God bringing the word of God. Because if you don't think about breath being, think about what he says The prophet says that logos theophany that we talk about back in the beginning, he said that means speech brought forth, word. See, and this prophet's message has come forward to speak to you and I. All right? Now, it will take the very, from that word that he brings, will come the very life of God to quicken that word that you and I have heard, and that is what I believe is taking place. All right? Amen. Now, then, we're dropping out of heaven, coming down to earth. We're going to talk about predestination. We're going to get down to where we live. We're going to get down into the point. And we're going to quote a lot of the things that we've already brought. But from now on, Lord willing, we're going to try to get down to where we live. Because, you know, that's just been my desire. Sorry that it took me that long. Most everybody can get there in one message, but I just have trouble. I'm just slow, and I'm sorry. You know, and I kind of just take my time. All right. Now, as I said this morning, then we see Adam. As Adam, as he was brought into being, and that man Adam was a wonderful creation because he was made, you know, out of the earth. Brother Branham said at one time, he said, there he stood with his feet in the earth that he come from. The God just took it and swept over and just created a body. And there he stood. All right. He said, then God put the 126th man, you know, let us make man our own image, et cetera, et cetera. Put that man or that part of eternal life that he gave to Adam. You argue with Brother Branham, not me. Blasphemous names. He said he put eternal life into Adam. So that's, if you want to disbelieve it, go ahead. That's your choice. I'm just telling you, these are quotes that you don't like for me to say because you already got your pre-planned idea of what you think took place. But see, you can't go by that. You got to at least believe what he said. Or you got to at least say what he said. Now, to say I don't know what he meant is one thing. But to say he didn't say that, that's what a sister one time said. Brother Dale said he'd always say something. Said, I was sitting there thinking, Brother Branham didn't say that. And said, he just throws it up on the screen and lets us read it. Well, I like to do that. Then you're going to argue with Brother Branham. You're not going to argue with me. All right. See, then unto Adam he gave eternal life. All right. Now, I will not cover one point of the message. I'm telling you. I will not deal with the point unless I just feel totally led to about a lot of the fall. Because I want you to think. All right? I want you to consider what happened in the garden. We can go through the lineup of showing this and showing that. That, you know, that Eve was beguiled by the serpent and the done of the things. And this took place and that thing, you know, took place. If you don't know what happened there, then you lost anyway, so forget it. You know, I mean, I don't mean lost like can't be saved. I mean, you're not in the story. If you've been around the message very long, you ought to understand that we don't believe Eve ate an apple.
Right.
You know, because the only thing an apple will do is give you bellyache. Right? So if Eve ate an apple and all this got wrong, I ain't going to never eat another apple. Well, I love them, and I'll keep eating them. Right. But see, we ought to have enough sense to know. If you don't, and I'm just blunt, and I don't mind being blunt, if you don't know what happened in the garden, I will go purchase you a Playboy magazine. And you can read it. Because they put it in there. They have it with the snake and the women, the things. You mean the Playboy magazine, vulture, garbage can minds can know more about the word of God than the preachers? Oh, but they just ate an apple. Oh, now they ate an apricot. Oh, that's something, ain't it? I read in the scripture, according to my understanding, it was talking about a tree. But it was a tree of what? knowledge of good and evil. Don't sound like no apple tree, pear tree, or any other thing. It sounds like an understanding. All right? It sounds like Satan and his doings. All right? But now, as I said, if you don't know what happened in the garden, then we will be glad to sit down with you if you can't read the Bible and see that the serpent was the most subtle of all beasts. The serpent and a beast is two different people, two different animals. See, he was first a beast, an upright creature, the one that was between man and monkey that Darwin could not follow over and bring forth. That's sensible. All right, but then when God cursed him, he was put on the ground and made part of the snake family, and that's the reason they can't find him. They've tried to mix all of those things together, but God totally annihilated that situation till there's no hopes whatsoever of being able to follow it that way. But it is plain sensible. There was a creature in the garden that was known as a beast. And then as I read, he was made a serpent. All right. See, then in doing those things, then it's bringing it down to where you and I can follow the line of the story. And she said she was beguiled. The word beguiled means defiled. All right. So then her being defiled, we know what happened. Okay. And the fall came into being. All right. Now, as I said, I'll probably take it up, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday, how that Adam fell in his part and how that it will deal with the... Did I say something wrong?
Tuesday.
I'll be here Wednesday. Okay. We'll try to get it Tuesday. And talk about where Brother Branham said Adam fell from eternal life to death in the garden. I ask you up front, is God an Indian giver?
No,
but we'll take a whole message on that part, unless I feel like it and get into it in a minute. All I want to deal with is one thing. We know for a certainty, and we won't have to give these quotes, but I have them laying here if you like it, that anything that has a beginning has to have an ending.
Right.
And only eternal life has no beginning and no ending. All right. So anything, it doesn't make no difference what it is. It has to be made eternal, or else it'll finally one day be totally annihilated. All right. But if it has a beginning, it has to have an ending to it. All right. Now, then, according to the prophet you claim to believe, that Jesus' body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, had a beginning.
Right.
All right? And then thereby it was not sinful and needed redemption like we are and have been, but it had a beginning. So thereby the body would have to be redeemed. And that's what he covers on proving his word. That Jesus' body had to have a beginning. It would have to be made. And he said then in that point from that one, and it's in also the future home, where he said, from that part of the earth I have redeemed even your bodies. If it wasn't for Jesus' body coming out of this earth, you would not have him as a kinsman redeemer to the human race. All right. So his body came out of the earth, and thereby it had to be made eternal, and it had to be resurrected. So while he was on earth, his body was a body like yours and I body, except for the one thing, the virgin birth. That's the only difference from that part. All right. Now, so then if we can get that part out of the way, and knowing that it was not a sinful part, but a part that anything that has a beginning has to have an ending. All right. See, then in the garden, now we're going to deal with something right here for you to think about. In the garden of Eden, the body and the spirit of Adam and Eve was not eternal. All right? Only the soul, I keep saying blasphemous name because a lot of people don't believe that, so go read it or listen to the tape anyway, my Lord. Like I said this morning, people will say, I don't believe you. Aaron's got me a good one on that. He said he was fabulous, and I said he ain't. Because I thought he was saying he was flubbious. He ain't flubby. He ain't big fat. He's just heavy. Okay. No, just joking. But listen, Adam's body and his spirit was not eternal. All right? Now we're going to try to deal with what happened in the fall. You can deal with the sex act between Eve and the beast. You can talk about those things and do all of the different points. But why not just get down to the sensible things? What caused that to happen? Why would Eve do as she done? No. Regardless of what you want to call it. If you want to call it eating an apple. If she's told not to eat the apple, why'd she eat the apple? Right? So there must be something about her that brought this situation into being. But just remember now, we don't blame Eve for everything. Because remember, the Bible doesn't say in Eve all died. The Bible says in Adam all died. Adam had a choice. Right? He could have put forth and said, no way. All right. But now let's get down to the point. Now, to believe then that Adam's body and his spirit was not eternal, then we're leaving a realm there that Brother Branham says Satan has a knowledge of the principles of life. All right. Now that means a lot more than just saying this and that and this and that. He knew all of the things are the only thing that could happen to the human race to pollute it. That he had an inroad to understand. He knew that. He knew how we were. He knows how we're created. And don't worry about arguing with him because you ain't going to do no good. Remember, he knew all about our creation. He knows all about what bothers us. He knows all about what does that. Because remember, it's his buddies, the spirits, that cause you and I to have certain natures in certain ways. Right? You see? Then he ought to know all about us. He knows how to deal with you. He knows how to get to you. Don't think you're going to pull anything over on him. Boy, I tell you, that devil, he ain't bothering me. I told you what that man said at work one day. He said, the devil don't bother me no more. I said, well, great. Pray for me. He said, I'm working on commanding the Lord. And I said, wow. He said, yeah. He said, everybody else trying to run the devil off. He said, I'm working on commanding the Lord. I said, where's the scripture? He said, the Bible says, command ye me. And that's right, the Bible does say that. It says, command ye me. He said, so I'm just commanding the Lord. I said, well, that's not exactly the way I see it. But I said, so long. You know what I mean? I don't think it was in need of me talking to him anymore. Because if he done got to the point that he could command God, there wasn't no need of me talking to him. All right? So I just said, so long. And I did. I just didn't, you know, I'd speak to him. Wave, hi, how you doing? But I didn't talk to him no more about the Word of God. Because I figured I was talking to the head devil. Sorry about that. But who else would have come up with that? You know, to twist the word that much. Okay. Sorry about that. Listen, but if Adam had eternal life in his soul, you know, and I believe Eve did too, but people argue with that point, so we'll just stick with Adam, you know. Then how did the fall come to pass? If he had eternal life in his soul. So you got to definitely agree that he could not have sinned in his soul. We'll get to scripture in a minute. We'll get to where we're at in a minute. So just hold on. But he couldn't have sinned in his soul. But that left his spirit and his body. Now according to the scripture, the body without the spirit is dead. So don't worry about that old boy. We just put him out. You know, your body can't do anything that some spirit doesn't motivate it. Right? So we're narrowing it down. We would say that it would not be in the soul of Adam that sin would develop. All right? Because it's eternal. All right? So then we are taking out the body, so we're leaving the spirit realm. All right? And in that spirit realm, you have the ability to do wrong. And so did Adam and Eve. In the spirit realm now. So if you go to sleep, miss the whole message, please remember what I said. Don't go away and say, Brother Dale says this. No, just say it like I said. The body ain't no problem. The soul ain't no problem. The spirit is the problem realm. So we got to deal in that part to find out what happened in the garden. And then if it happens that way, you see what happens in you and I. All right? Now, I will remind you. I don't mind saying these things like this. I will remind you that Brother Branham will even use Eve, and he'll say, in her soul, she began to reason. Now you got the problem. The prophet said in her soul. See, you're not listening to the whole message either. All right? Here's where a guy comes along like myself and said, okie dokie, think it over. Brother Branham in his early ministry, up basically to about 62. I say that we use the word basically because there's times that he used it to where that it will be correctly in line. But up until about 62, Brother Branham taught that it was body, second realm was soul, and center realm of man is spirit. All right, you agree with that? You need any problem? I can bring the quotes anytime, or I wouldn't say them. But then when he gets along to the I'll get it in a minute. Where is it? It's about 62. He begins to look at things, and I believe the scripture began to open unto him because of what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Word of God will discern the difference between what? Soul and spirit. All right? I believe the word opened to the prophet. In the later part of his ministry, he would say what? Body, spirit, soul. You say, well, why didn't he come along and correct that somewhere with something? He didn't have to. Because the word had not opened to the man, so there's nobody else could correct him with that point. Maybe you don't believe it that way, but I do. It's just like the opening of the seals. Clarence Larkin talked the White Horse Rider was the Antichrist before Brother Branham ever come along. As a matter of fact, that's what all this internet people saying now, saying that Brother Branham got his message let up from Clarence Larkin. Right. But remember, Clarence Larkin wasn't a prophet, so I ain't going to worry about it. I'm just going to say it like it is. It wasn't responsible about that White Horse Rider until the seals broke. And while Brother Branham could say the White Horse Rider is the Holy Ghost. And then when it come to the opening of the seals, he said the White Horse Rider is the Antichrist. All right? Now, if you don't know that, get with me later. I'll be glad to sit down with the computer and run the quotes to show you that in the basics of his early ministry, he would say body, soul, spirit. Then he would say body, spirit, soul. But remember one thing that'll keep the key that you'll always know. Brother Branham always gave five senses to the body. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. He always gave five senses, no matter what he called it. He gave five senses to the second realm of mankind, which was reason, memory, conscious affections, and what it, love or something, every which one of them that goes in there to make the five. And he always gave the center realm, no matter whether he called it soul or spirit, that center realm has only one thing that it can be. It's either faith or doubt. Now, he's right. So he doesn't have to preach services to correct. And if you want my idea about it, I'll just put it on here. I don't mind it. You know, Brother Branham couldn't deliberately deceive you and I and be a prophet. But God could allow him to say things that would deceive the biggest portion of the people. Because I can prove by the Bible that Jesus said, baptize in the name of what? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right? But I can prove by the Bible he said to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, which one's right and which one's wrong? Both of them's right. Because if you're baptized correctly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now you're right. There's no problem. See, because that brings it to the clarity. All right. So now, looking at it, what is your problem and my problem today? Because if we can see back there, we can see ourselves. If we can see ourselves, we can see back there. That's why I emphasize so much of it this morning. All right? See, because back there, Adam had eternal life in his soul. His body and his spirit was not eternal. If you have the new birth, that's up to you now. If you have the new birth, you have eternal life in your soul. But your body and your spirit is still mortal and under time. I got problems with it. All right? Now, see, then to bring it that away, we can see that it's right here now with us. As I said, then if you can see yourself, you can see that. If you can see that, you can see yourself. Can you see what happened to Eve? All right? Now, man was placed, he cannot make a sin. Paragraph 68 and all that through there, 89 through this two or three, on Christ is a mystery. He cannot make them sin and judge you for being wrong. Amen. So he has to allow the being or person to come into that position by their own doings. He could not make Eve wrong. See, we're thoughts of Eve. Oh, he just made this. Forgive me without saying it, okay? And we made this woman that she just so sexually till she just couldn't. And you, why don't you go play your peddling somewhere else? It don't work around here. Okay. Eve was a perfect, beautiful woman.
Yes.
Right. Nothing wrong with her. There was no devil until he was released upon her. She didn't come into the world like you and I. She didn't come into the world looking at the lights and the bed and the where your baby's taken in and, you know, born. And there, the first thing it hears is a bunch of women and men in there cussing and saying, "Boy, full moon tonight. There's going to be a bunch of these blankety blank babies going to be born." And the poor kid, he enters the world as a garbage can because that's all he knows. Eve never had that. She wasn't, as I said, brought up as a child and come through those words you use. What it, puberty, and what it, you know, come through the life as a little girl. She didn't come through those things and come out with desires.
Right.
She was created perfect.
Right.
Well, she was just made where she could do it. I got a quote from the prophet. Explain that. Explain how God made her wrong. And then how can he judge her?
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Well, she was just made that way. May I quote Brother Branham? He said, Satan's her designer. Would you mind explaining that? Did Satan say, now, God, what you need to do, you know, you got to make this curve come around this way, and you got to make that curve come around this way, you got to make her this way, and you got to make her beautiful. Garbage. He was not her designer as to telling God how to make her. What are you talking about? He was her designer when the fall came. Then he designed her the way. And now he designed you in life. Right? Them little girls coming along, folks. Be careful of them little girls. Keep your eyes on them. And try to help them. For heaven's sake, they don't need no help to try to be wrong. Neither does the boys. Don't worry about it. They're going to have problems. But you don't have to be part of the designer. Well, Brother Brown said it. He designed her. Satan didn't make her wrong. And God standing there saying, Satan, now, you make her this way and she can do this. You make her that way and she can do that. He already knew what would take place. All right? Are you following me? See? But what was the thing that put man in bad shape? Let's cover this a second. Was the fact that man was made a free moral agent. Do you need those quotes? Paragraph 231, Revelation of Jesus Christ, 1961. E48, Ministry Explained, every man's a free moral agent. Adam and Eve was made a free moral agent to choose. Is that enough?
Yes.
All right. To choose what we desire to do. All right? Now, I want you to listen to this. So, Brother Joe, wherever who's back there, pull up to number 7. We've done went way into the message. So pull up to number 7 quote. Because I want you to listen to this one. This is one part of the message I want you to pay close attention to. Because to me it explains then how that Eve fell in her spirit realm. And to see what she really done. We deal with the fact that she accepted Satan's lie. It's okay. That's part of the truth. But when I found this quote, I thought, God, I got to bring this one. Listen to what he says. The Message Oneness, 1962, paragraph 75. What? Her thinking changed. Oh, yes, her thinking changed. Her fellowship with her husband wasn't right. Now, that's coming to the fall, right? Are you with me?
Yes.
When the fall happened, this is what's taking place. They begin to pass the buck, see? Her thinking was actually changed. Now listen to Brother Branham and get it. Why? She had the life of the devil in her. Now come on, folks. We got to have a little sense, spiritual. There's no way that Eve in the natural had anything to do. It was the beast that she had the life of in her, not the devil. That's why it's called the seed of the serpent. It's not called the seed of the beast. If you're dealing with just the sex act, it'd be the seed of the beast. Brother Branham said Satan wanted to inject himself into the human race. And he said he knew he couldn't create. So thereby, he would have to use some form to enter the human race. Listen to what he's saying. She had the life of the devil in her. What was the life of the devil? The lie that he told.
Right?
Not no act pact with the devil for her to receive any life. The beast was the guy. But before then, she had the life of the devil in her. Are you listening to your prophet? Actually, as soon as she disbelieved God's word, she accepted the life of the devil because she accepted his teaching. I can make this awful, awful strong right here, but it's on the tape. I'm sure you understand the church. She disbelieved God's word, and it disassociated her from God because in her right then was the life of the devil. She had believed his lie, said it's the fruit is good, and she partook with him. All right, are you following me? She had the life of the devil in her. What is the life of the devil? What is the life of the devil? It cannot be the pure word of God. So it's his lie. It's his teaching. We just read that. She believed his lie. Remember, Brother Brandon said she started out a good woman preacher. Because she began to tell him, we can't partake of this and we can't partake of that. You know. You know what? She's telling him 100% truth. But then he began to talk to her. And she accepted his lie. And when she accepted his lie is the life of the devil. Are you with me?
Yes.
Where did that take place? Not in her body, because that's no problem. It didn't take place in her soul, because it's eternal. So it took place in her spirit. Why? Because I wasn't the one that wrote these messages. Look at the next one. Go to number 8. He's talking about the spoken word's original seed. And he's talking about what happened with Eve was both physical and spiritual. Right? See, both physical and spiritual with Eve. All right, look what happened. So first it hit, Satan hit Eve's mind. And in the wound of her mind, she doubted God's word. Then come the actual act. So where was the first act at? In her mind. May I quote Brother Branham? A woman cannot accept a man until she first goes through her reasoning factors. Outside of that, it's not that. It's rapes and things. All right? Look what he talks about on the message, the contest. Go ahead, number 9. And now Eve began to stop to reason. She even quoted the word to him. Right? Satan never disagreed with her. He certainly, hey, that's right. Oh, you know what you're talking about. And what did Brother Brown say? When the old farmer you had to worry about with your wife, who'd he say? That old slick tongue dude. May I bring it a little closer? That old preacher in the pulpit. Because you know what? Everybody, including me, is trying to do one thing. Because I cannot talk to your bodies because you can sit there and paint your eyeballs and open them up and go sound asleep. That don't do no good. And the soul is where you're going to have to answer to God about. So I'm going to try to get you to think. Because if you don't think, you can't. Nothing can't work anyway. You say, well, hey, you're admitting you try to get us to think. Yeah, I admit it. You mean you're just now catching on to that? I mean, you don't think that all these preachers ain't doing the same thing? What is the seed of the serpent? Now, come on, what is the seed of the serpent? We ain't talking about what's the seed of the beast. We know what happened there. We know where Cain come from. That's the seed of the beast. But what is the seed of the serpent? Paul describes it over there later in the scriptures as what? Lest Satan, through his subtlety, as he did to Eve, deceive you through the what? Through the simplicity that is in Christ. Oh. And I thought Paul was good to explain. that his ministers, Satan's ministers, are as the ministers of righteousness. Am I quoting Scripture? Have you read your Bible lately? You'll find out. Old Brother Herman Garland, I used to get tickled at that. He'd get up to testify and he'd say, I read the Bible today, and he said, you know, it's in there what I'm going to tell you because I just read it. I thought, well, that's good. It's in the Bible that Satan's ministers are as the ministers of righteousness. They're not even good law teachers no more. Right? You don't hear the preachers today preaching on women's dress and hair and clothes very much, do you? No, they got into this great revelated, you know. You mean the devil's got ministers? Yep. And they're not law teachers trying to get you in the book of rules. They're preaching the message of the hour. But isn't it reasonable that Jesus wasn't God till the River Jordan? Now, isn't that just reasonable? No, it ain't reasonable. Because my Bible said he was born Lord to Christ. Stop that. But see, that's where we reason. Through Eve in his subtlety. So what was the thing that would happen in the garden to Eve? Satan was going through her mind, her reasoning, her memories and things. And you know, he had to bring it all to her because she didn't have a life to bring it on. That's what I was bringing that out a minute ago. She was perfect. He had to start and get over a period of time. I don't think it was a 15-minute flame. Now, if you do, you're okay. That's your business. It could have took years and years for Satan to talk to her. I never thought of it like that. Well, okay. Forget it. But he had to get her to reason. Isn't it reasonable that God created you? And that you're a part of Adam? Do you think that God is going to kill you? He'd have to kill Adam. Reasonable. On the message, Way of a True Prophet, Brother Brown said, Eve let down the bars. She began to reason. And Satan said it like this. You haven't had any schooling yet. I'm the professor of the seminar out here. That's Brother Brown now reading his own. But I'll tell you, we've learned more things out there. We learned that God is so good. We learned in our seminary that God is so good. He don't expect you to do all he wrote there. He doesn't expect that. Yeah, but she said, the Lord said. Now, she'd have made a good preacher if she'd have stayed on that. That's the reason she's condemned to be one today. Why? Why is she condemned? Because she took Satan's lie. May I quote Brother Branham? She took Satan's life. What is the life of the devil? Unbelief. Right? Unbelief. That's the life of the devil. Listen to, go ahead with number 11 while you're pulling them up. The Smyrnian Church Age. The Church Age book, 126. She believed that Cain was from God. She accepted the devil's lie as the truth of God. That's exactly what we have now. And he goes on talking about the churches. Eve was, remember the Bible said Eve was deceived. You know that it plainly says Adam was not deceived? He knew exactly what he's doing. That's where the problem fell on him. He knew what he's doing. That's why it says in Adam all die. Because he sold the whole human race. She was deceived. Now, come on, folks. Let's get down sensible. A girl goes out and gets pregnant, and she has a baby. Where does the life come? I'm Satan's side. I'm trying to reason with you on the Satan side. Where does the life come from? A woman goes out and gets pregnant. She has a baby. Where does the life come from? It comes from God. Because Satan can't create life. So Eve believed that she'd gotten a man from the Lord. Is that scripture? She believed Satan's lie and accepted that whatever she done was the way that God meant for it to be done. Can I say it that way? Wouldn't it be sensible to think about Eve as for time and time and day in and day out and week in and week out and year in and year out that you're sitting talking? And that old devil, he says, you know, Adam's holding something from you. He's not telling you everything. He knows that you're here for this purpose. He said, don't you remember when you was in Theophany? Hey, come on, read Genesis. We read 1, 26 and 27. How about reading verse 28? We talk about spiritual creation in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. What about? You say, what does it say in 28? It says, for them to multiply and replenish the earth. So he says, Eve, you was made for this purpose. Don't you remember that? You were made for the purpose of having babies. And you know what he could do? He could take her out there and show her. Right? You have any problem with babies born from the animals in the garden? You say, no, you're walking on soft ground. I love soft ground. Because that's where you learn your footing and how to place your feet. And if you got good wide feet, that helps. You don't sink as much. All right. You say, well, where are you going to put that? Well, I believe that there was a time when sin entered the picture that God killed animals and made the skins for Adam and Eve. Is that scripture? Well, what happened to that species? If it was only two animals, that species gone. You've done missed it, so you ought to wake up. The animals were having creation because that was their doings. It was just Adam and Eve that wouldn't have in creation. And the devil could show Eve all of those animals and what they were doing and says, you're made for that. Said, Adam just won't tell you about it. What is it that gets most of us in trouble? Most of us in trouble. We like to think that we know something that somebody else don't know. Nala, what are you pointing at Sister Trudy about? She said, dude, just quick as I said that. She done nailed you, Sister Trudy, that something went wrong. Okay. What do you think about it? What do you think about? See, we want to look at the act. Remember, your prophet was quick to state, what? Drinking, gambling, smoking is not a sin. Right? It's an attribute of unbelief. So the sex acts in the garden wasn't the main thing. That was just an attribute. Eve, according to spoken words, original seed, go read the message. She had accepted Satan's lie within her. And all she done was this, said, okay. He said, this is the way it's supposed to be done. He got her to reason. Got her to think about it. And then remember, she did say, I've gotten a man from the Lord. That is scripture. And Brother Branham, we just read that she believed that she believed Cain come from God. Well, you know what? That's true. You know that Cain come from God? Because God's the only one who can give life. But now what's Brother Branham talking about? It was just bringing Cain the wrong way. Right? Listen. So then, Eve, as she begins to reason. Now, I'm bypassing a bunch in here that maybe I need to cover, but if you don't understand it, please come to me and ask me about it. Eve and Adam in the garden, according to blasphemous names, paragraph 184 through about 191, Brother Branham is explaining of God breathing into the nostrils of Adam, and he became an eternal person. Said God, but God specially upon Adam breathed the breath of eternal life, and he became an eternal person with God. Right. Is that enough to let you know that Adam in the garden where he stood? All right. Is it enough? Do I need to bring this to where Brother Branham said God is not an Indian giver? He don't give. We'll cover that later as we cover the fall and the depth of what happened and more. God is not an Indian giver. He couldn't give Adam eternal life and then take it back. That won't work. All right. Now, that started back there. So as I said, we see what happened back there, we see what happened now. We see what happened now, we see what happened back there. Right? All right? What's the problem today with you and I as Christians? Now, we're not talking about the world and sin. We're talking about Christians. What's the problem today? I love the way Brother Branham brings things. I love the word, the way it's written and things. Because it's written so that you can just blow your mind. If you don't think about some things in the doings. Now, do Christians sin? Now, before you answer yes or no or anything, smile or whatever, just hold on. Because we're going to have to get down to a basis to understand something. According to John, 1 John 3 and 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. So a Christian can't sin from the soul. You agree with me? He can't sin from the soul. So where's his sin at? Just like Adam and Eve was, in the spirit realm that motivated him. Brother Branham, just keep pulling on up. Number 15, they're following me. Do Christians sin? This is taken from Questions and Answers in 1959. Do Christians sin? Absolutely no. There is no scripture where a Christian sins. He cannot sin. I know there's a resentment to that. Listen at him. Is he any today? You're wondering which way I'm going, right? You ain't got to figure it out which way. It's okay, hold on. I know there's a resentment to that. Well, you just go to John 1:3 and see that the scripture says a Christian does not sin. You can't have a white blackbird, you know, sinner saint the thing. Okay. So now we must establish something. That, according to God's eyes and his doings, the soul of mankind cannot sin if it's truly born again. Now, there's the key now, if it's truly born again. Now, until then, we're just all sinners. Because remember, that's what it is. Sinners, that's the scripture we read in Ephesians. For the sins. Sinners don't have sins. They are a sinner. Their whole makeup is sinner. There was a time your makeup and my makeup was totally sinners. We didn't have sins. God wasn't keeping a record of how we do. Oh, isn't that something the preacher gets up? Don't you go do these things, don't you? Because God's keeping a record. One of these days he's going to bring up all you. No. He ain't going to bring up all you done. He's just going to tell you you're lost. Why don't we preach it right? Because all you're trying to do is threaten people with wordings. You're going to die in hell if you don't get straight. There ain't no such thing as an eternal hell. Well, you can't die in hell eternally. So hell can't be eternal. Now, that took that out of the way. But we still believe it. Why? Because the Pope taught it. Because he was the guy that come up with it. Where he could make the money. to where the people were put in hell and have to be prayed out. And then you have to pay to get them prayed out. Right? Sounds like the minds of mankind is still being deceived. All right. Now, Brother Branham says Christians don't sin. The Bible says Christians don't sin. But the Bible says, if we say we've not sinned or don't sin, we're a what? A liar. Read that in a second. Okay. And Brother Branham says, we're all tempted. All of us sin. There's none without sin. Sin every day. Sin every day you sin. Paul said he had to die daily. That's just one. Okay. So now we got mass confusion. Right? Now we're into the parts of your mind is going to have to work. And you're going to have to settle something in your mind. Brain, reasoning, spirit. Whatever happened in the garden is still happening right now.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Satan, through his subtlety, that's what Paul was talking about, could deceive you. We as Christians, born-again believers, those with eternal life in their soul, whatever you want to translate the words of the new birth or whatever. I'm talking about eternal life in your soul. That soul cannot sin. John's right. Why? Because the seed remaineth in him. And what? It's not the person can't do wrong. It's what's inside of him can't do wrong.
That's right.
Hey, don't tell me that the devil made you do it. But I don't even believe it that way. You say, yeah, the devil made me do these things. No, we volunteer for most of it.
That's right.
I ain't going to blame him for everything that I believe wrong.
That's right.
I'm in this thing myself. Whether you like it or not, you're in it.
That's right.
What are you trying to get to? I'm trying to get to the in the garden. It was not in body. It was not in soul that they sinned. It was in the spirit realm of reasonings and things. Because Adam and Eve had eternal life in their soul. And so is it right today with the new birth.
Amen.
That you and I are still in Satan's domain.
Yeah.
Motivated by the devil and his doings.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, you can shout glory, hallelujah, I can't sin.
Uh-huh.
Well now, what do you mean by that? What are you going to do with these? Go ahead and pull up number 16. Which is taken from 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Huh? If you don't sin, what do you need somebody to cover you?
Right.
Come on, you're not even reading. If you don't have no sins, why would it be speaking of sin? What do you need an advocate? You know what I'm talking about. That's over in the scripture. Come on, read it. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, now there's past. You can kind of deal. Well, what that means, Brother Dale, that means that I did sin back yonder, but I don't do it now. That wasn't what it said up here. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So what about it? But yet you're putting out something over here that says a Christian cannot sin. Then you're turning around over here and saying a Christian is the only one that does sin. That's right. Both of the statements are just made right. Go ahead with number 17, where we can read that part, where it won't be my words. Wrote it on up. We'll have to get. This is taken from the message, the Contending for the Faith, 1956, 200. We're tempted. All of us are tempted. All of us sin. There's none without sin. Every day you sin. Paul said he had to die daily. And if we say we sin and have no sin, see, if we say we have no sin, then the Bible says we make God to lie. And we could not do that. So we sin daily, and it's grace, God's grace, that saves us. Okay? You still believe your prophet? One more. Then we'll preach a little bit. Look what he says in the Hebrews chapter. Go ahead, number 18. Which is Hebrews chapter 6, 1957, paragraph 265 on through 263 mainly. And we got this morning, how that we are perfected. Perfected. Absolutely spotless and blameless. Not one sin on us. Are you above temptation? Never. Do you sin every day? Yes, sir. But yet we are perfected because we are in Him. Now, but that's a direct contradiction. Because you just read one, it said we don't sin. Now you read the others, it said we do sin. Oh, you got me confused. Honey, I didn't get you confused. You was born that way. You learned your confusion somewhere else. You didn't learn it here. So what is it? Exactly like in the garden. Adam and Eve could not sin in their soul. But in that spirit realm, it went after those desires and lusts of the flesh, which works through your spirit realm. And it brought into being the thing. But the main thing was the lust that Eve had for the devil's life. Can I quote what he said? The devil's life. What is the devil's life? Perverted word. Perverted word. Word with just mind and your ideas on it. Right? Eve reasoned in her spiritual realm, her spirit part, and that brought sin upon the human race. And here you and I stand this afternoon in the same identical situation she was standing. Eternal life in your soul by the new birth. A body that's no problems. Because it can't work. Right? But a spirit that can still reason out things. And a memory that can work. Right? And we can sit and listen to the devil's lie. And who's the devil bringing it by? The preachers in the pulpit. Remember, one-third, I know Brother Branham quotes it, two-thirds, but Scripture says one-third of the angels fell. All right. And the Brother Branham said those one-third of the angels, he said they give us a nature. Said he give us a nature. But you know, there was also two-thirds of those angels that didn't fall. And you know what the Bible calls those two-thirds of those angels? Ministering spirits. To minister unto the heirs of salvation. Amen. Brother Branham said the angels that was at the garden with the flaming sword to turn them away, he said, drove mankind out. He said, now those angels are driving us back to the tree of life. Only the redeemed have angels, may I quote Brother Branham? And you know what? I've always told you, and it's not a joke, when I get there, when I find that old boy, that's my guardian angel, I'm going to apologize to him. And I'm going to ask him who's his buddy. Because, see, I believe I had to be given two. You know. Because one wouldn't be enough to take care of this old boy. You say, but Brother Dale, you never been out in the world of sin. You never drank. You never done those things. No, but I got that mind of reasoning. I got that ability in my mind to reason out things. I've got that to where that I'm trained. I'm trained to the point that when you say something, quickly quotes are coming to my brain. You say, well, you don't think that's good? Yeah, as long as it's used right. When it's used wrong, it can be death. Because you know what I'm talking about. Come on, wake up. You know as quick as I say something here that you don't agree with, your brain starts working. Now you tell me it don't, I'll tell you a liar to your face. Is there any problem? Come on, you start reasoning. And it's good. The Bible says, come let us reason together. Amen. That's wonderful. As long as it's according to God's word.
Amen. Amen.
Wisdom is one of the greatest things that the Bible could speak of. Read of it in the Psalms and things. A wisdom sometimes. But yet the wrong wisdom, what is it? And what is our biggest problem? Like I say, you start talking to somebody. And you start telling them about the message. And you start telling them about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the first thing they say? You mean my mama wasn't saved? You ain't mentioned mama. You ain't said nothing about mama, daddy, or nobody. But you've come to a realization in your mind that mama and daddy might have been wrong. Right? But just remember, it ain't mama and daddy. It's me and you facing God. So do you see what happened in the garden? And it's still happening now? May I quote Brother Branham? Remember in his early ministry when he was preaching about the serpent seed, and if I paraphrase this, missed part of it, forgive me. But he was talking to a guy, and he didn't really have the answer to what the guy was saying. And the guy said, but Brother Branham, said, whatever it was back there, it's got to be here now. And he said, Lord, now help me. He knew that man had it. He said, help me, Lord. The man turned around. He said, it's the snake, the serpent. Brother Brown said, thank you, Lord. See, because even in all his great understanding and reasoning power, he didn't have the answer to the man. So the man allowed the man himself to answer his own question. What happened in the garden is still happening right now. Satan is doing his best through his subtlety to deceive you. Look what he's done with the people of this message that followed it 30, 40 years, preachers. Oh, bud, you better believe one thing about it. They wouldn't have said nothing when Brother Branham was alive. Oh, they had enough sense to know better than that. I've never seen it fail yet. You take somebody that knows what they're doing and let somebody come up and try to start something with it. If you know what you're doing, look him straight in the eye and you'll see him start wiggling and turning and twisting. And he'll get away from you. You don't even have to say a word to him. I've done that over and over to preachers because they'd come up and start saying, well, so-and-so. You don't even have to answer them. Just look at them. Just stand there and look. In a little bit, they'll start backpedaling and run off from you. Why? Because they know they're just in the reasoning power. Satan is doing his best right now to get you and I to reason. That's what he's talking about right now. What's this guy talking about? What's he been preaching about? I'm preaching about the fall that happened in the garden to show you that fall is still going on right now. Because that's what I was quoting to Brother Branham. Whatever the original sin's got to be here now. What was the original sin? Unbelief.
Right.
Yes, but Brother Dale, I don't have no unbelief. Oh, may I quote Brother Branham? The Bible says, he that sins willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice. Is that Bible? Right. Brother Branham will say, see there, you can't sin willfully. But you ain't listened to enough tapes. Keep listening, because I'll be glad to find it for you. Brother Branham says, see there, he said, we willfully do wrong. You're sitting right now trying to figure out in your mind what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the same sin that was in the garden for Adam and Eve is the same sin right now today.
That's right. Yes, sir.
To accept Satan's reasoning against the Word.
Right.
Yeah, but ain't it reasonable? Don't you think that brother has a right to believe it like that? The Constitution gives him that right. Of course, you're taking that away. But the Bible don't give you a right to reason. You say, yeah, but you said, well, come on, the Bible says, come and let us reason together, though your sins be. I know what the Scripture says. It's not dealing that away. We're not to reason on God's Word. Whether I believe it or not, I say, amen. I told him going down the road last night, 40-something years, I've studied on one thing that Brother Branham said. One day I'll preach it. 40-something years, I wondered what he was talking about. In one split second, he opened it up. See, I don't preach until he opens it. You may differ with me in my approaches of things and my ways of bringing it and attitudes and everything else. But just answer me one question. Have I expressed to you the Word of God this afternoon of what happened in the garden is still happening right now? That your reasoning factor is what's wrong with you. God don't give you eternal life and take it back. Mm-mm. And that eternal life cannot sin. So it's got to be something else. Come on, musicians. It's got to be something else. It can't be just our reasonings and our thinking. What do you think about the Word of God? What do you think about what happened in the garden? Well, Brother Dale, I ain't never went out and had no sex act with no animal. That's all you think about in the garden. What I'm talking about is what caused Eve to come to position she could allow that to happen. That is an attribute of unbelief. Brother Brown said a woman can't take a man until she first takes him in her mind. He deceived me. I thought that's what Eve said about the devil. But I wish you'd remember one thing in that quote I gave you where Brother Brown said Eve received the life, not the lie, the life of the devil. The life of the devil is anything perverted against his word. Because it's not the seed of the beast that you're concerned about. It's the seed of the serpent. Which is it, unbelief? What do we got, boys? I appreciate these kids. I do. I love them for their doing. They're doing wonderful. They're doing wonderful.
No turning back, number 477.
Number 477. Let's stand together.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Watch out, man. Channels. What blows up an old furnace? Channels getting clogged up. What happened in the garden? Eve's mind got clogged up. You and I were born with it clogged. We're born in life to clog those channels. You can't even an eternity. I just want to know what it's like to kill somebody. Heaven help us. If you can't see what Satan's dealing in the mind of mankind today, you're in bad shape. So we just remind him of what the word said. By your stripes, we are healed. Father, just let that drop him down past his reasoning, his memory, and his thinking. All the way through and drop into that soul and say, by stripes, I'm healed. And believe it. And then watch it come into manifestation in Jesus' name. Anybody have a need? God will follow. Think about the message that you and I have heard. Amen. And how wonderful. Thank you. That we don't have these contradictions that the world religious system has. We can read a scripture that said, his seed remaineth in us and we cannot sin. Then we can read one that we don't sin. You know, and we do sin. And it'll come together as a beautiful picture. Thank God. You know, they've accused me of being the intellectual guy, and the people will say, beware of him that's got all the answers. So I conned a little phrase. You know, Brother Rum did say that. Beware of the guy that's got all the answers. And I agree with him. So I conned a phrase. How about it? Beware of the guy that don't have no answers for nothing after studying 40 or 50 years in this message. Right? I mean, we got one medical book. Right? Come on, we got one medical book, the Bible, and one message. And for 40, 50 years we've been studying it, and we don't have no answers. Oh, heaven help us. Heaven help us. Father, just go with us on the way home. Sorry for being the way I am, Lord. But yet you know me, and you must have liked something about it because you did allow me to come into the ministry and chose me, and that's up to you. But my ideas and opinions and thoughts are not worth anything. But your word is true and forever settled in heaven. And we thank you for the truth that has been brought unto us in this last days. And we ask you to just help us to understand. Guide everybody on the way home. Take care of everybody. Give a safe journey. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember Tuesday night. Okay? Tuesday.